Merlin found himself sitting very, very still. He'd never explained to either Caleb or Harald exactly how he'd physically traveled 4,000 miles in less than 2 hours to carry the warning about Blackwater's new strategy to Harald. He'd been astounded and immensely relieved, to say the very least, by how calmly Harald had taken his miraculous appearance on the stern galley of the king's flagship in the middle of the night. But in all honesty, he'd been so focused on the immediate threat that he hadn't really tried to nail down why the king had reacted with so little outward consternation. And he'd never suspected for a moment that Harald might have told anyone else, even his confessor, about it. Silence lingered in the quiet office library. In an odd sort of way, it was almost as if Steinar and Birkett were the Pikas, sitting silently, waiting with absolute patience while Merlin tried to absorb the implications of what Birkett had just said and think of some way to respond.
"Father," he said finally, "Your Eminence, I don't know exactly what King Harald may have written to you. I can only assume, however, that whatever it was not to denounce me as some sort of demon."
"Hardly that, Merlin."
Steinar's voice was gentle, almost comforting, and as Merlin watched, he smiled as if in fond memory.
"He was excited, actually. There was always that piece of a little boy down inside him, that sense of wonder. Oh,"
the Archbishop waved one hand,
"he wasn't totally immune to the possibility that he was making a mistake in trusting you, that you might actually turn out to be a demon. After all, we're speaking here of matters of faith, where reason is but one support, and that sometimes a frail one. Still, Merlin, there comes a time when any child of God must gather up in his hands all that he is, all that he can ever hope to be, and commit it. After all the thought, all the prayer, all the meditation, that moment of decision comes to all of us. Some never find the courage to meet it. They look away, trying to ignore it, or simply pretend it never came to them. Others turn away, take refuge in what others have taught them, what others have commanded them to think and believe, rather than making the choice, accepting the test for themselves. But Harald was never a coward. When the moment came, he recognized it and he met it, and he chose to place his trust in you. He wrote me about that decision, and he said—"
Steinar's eyes went slightly out of focus as he recited from memory.
"He may be a demon after all, Michael. I don't think so, but as we all know, I've been wrong a few times in my life. Quite a few, actually. But either way, the time has finally come. I won't fail the trust God has placed in all of us by refusing the choice. And so I've placed my own life, my son's life, the lives of my other children, my people, and yours, and all the souls that go with them, in his hands. If I'm wrong to do so, then surely I will pay a terrible price after this life. But I'm not. And if it should happen that God chooses for me never to return home, know this. I accept his decision, and I pass to you and to my son the completion of the task I agreed to undertake so long ago."
The Archbishop fell silent once more. Merlin felt the dead king's words echoing within him. It was as if he and Harald stood together on that stern walk once again, and his Pika eyes burned as they faithfully mimicked the autonomous responses of their original human models.
"What task, Your Eminence?" he said softly.
"The task of teaching his people and all of Safehold the truth," Steinar said. "The truth about God, about the church, about our world and all the work of God's hands. The truth that the church has spent so many centuries systematically suppressing and choking out of existence. The truth
Merlin stared at the Archbishop. Even now, even after hearing Harald's words literally from beyond the grave, he had never expected to hear anything like that, and his thoughts spun like a man dancing on ice while he fought for balance.
What truth?
This one, Birkett said quietly. It begins, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are